Land Podcast with David Amoyal.
Benvenuti, as we would say in Italy. Welcome to all of you that don't speak Italian. Thank you so much for joining us for the second episode of the week of the Calcio Land podcast. So we're recording this Friday morning, Alex and I did some interviews yesterday. Today we are going to preview the upcoming Serie A season, which kicks off tomorrow. We're really not going to talk about transfers today. We are going to focus on the season. So at the top, we're going to do our favorite segment. Preseason over-unders for goals scored. I picked a bunch of strikers and said, yeah, Alex and I will debate the over-unders. I think you'll have a pretty good idea as to where we lean with their respective teams based on that. But we'll also make our predictions for top six in Serie A. And we have a great guest today. We couldn't have a season preview without our oracle on the show, Thousand Names, who came on to give us his season predictions. I asked our dear friend Richard Hall, who hadn't been on for a while, to come on and chat about the main storylines in the league. And then for the final interview of the show, you'll hear our dear friend Napoli Outsider talk about Napoli. Our patrons for Calcio Land, him and I previewed the Serie A season as well, but today we're going to run an interview available to all with him specifically on Napoli. But before we get to all that, I'm joined by our dear friend Alex Goldberg. We love doing these over-unders. I love challenging Alex, trying to come up with a number that's going to make it really hard for him to pick. So for those not familiar with this gambling gimmick, I'm going to put a number of goals for the main strikers in Serie A, and we're going to have to pick if they're going to go over or under that number. And we had a lot of fun last year, so let's see how it goes this year. So you ready, Alex, for this?
I'm gassed up. Let's go.
Yep. All right. Awesome. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to throw a curveball at you. I was going to start with Ronaldo, but let's start with Lukaku. And the reason we'll start with Lukaku is because you are on an island. You're picked Juve to win the Scudetto, but spoiler alert, both Thousand Names and I and Napoli Outsider picked Inter by a nose. So we're pretty bullish, I would say, on Lukaku, who's coming off a great season, had 23 goals last season. I'm going to put an over-under of 20.5, which would give him another season over 20 goals in Serie A, which is not easy. How do you feel about Lukaku? You think he's going to go over this 20 and a half?
I actually don't. And what's weird is I think he'll have a good season. And yeah, I'm taking Juve to win the Scudetto again, but I still think Inter will also have a good season. But maybe, and I'm sure we'll get to him, maybe Lukaku's teammate has more goals this time. I'm going to say Lukaku gets 18 or 19 and has a good season, but doesn't get over the 20 goal mark. And here's an extra weird reason why, is if Lukaku got over that again, well, we really need to. And I've been an advocate that he is underrated. You and I both have talked about that. Like, look at his goal scoring marks for club and country at this point. He's only 27 still. He's really putting up a really impressive career. Well, David, if he gets over again, we really have to start throwing him into the conversation of best strikers in the world consistently. And I'm not saying he's not, but I'm almost just going to go with the status quo, and where Lukaku flirts with that, just never gets fully into that. But it's weird because I still feel very highly about him compared to some others. But I'll say under 18 or 19. What are you taking?
I love your logic, and I think you justified it pretty well. I have a feeling you're going to be going over with his teammate. I'm all in on Lukaku. Wouldn't surprise me if he leads Serie A in scoring this season. I want him to be a little bit more selfish. I like that he gave away penalties to teammates, but last season it came back to bite them a few times. I have a feeling Conte is going to put his foot down there a little bit. Last season, Lukaku, as great as he was, he arrived late and he still had a great season. I'm bullish on Lukaku. I probably would have taken the over if I set this at 22 and a half, him repeating the season. So I'll go with him. So now let's get to Juve. And let's start with Ronaldo, who last season had the most goals ever for a striker at Juve or any player in a season, had 31 goals in Serie A, and we're doing over-unders just for Serie A. 31's a ton of goals. I feel, you know, doing an over-under, setting it at 30 is really, really high. So for Ronaldo, I'm going to go 28.5. I know, Alex, you're a big Ronaldo fan, but I'm going to caution you that part of my reasoning for setting this over-under 28.5 is a little bit of uncertainty on Pirlo. So I'm assuming if you have a huge season for Ronaldo, maybe you think that Pirlo is going to do well. But what do you think, Ronaldo, 28.5 over-under?
Yeah, I'm just going to isolate it down to Ronaldo. Of course, thinking about me thinking and predicting that Juve will win the Scudetto, but really just on Ronaldo, I'm done doubting the guy, obviously. Not that I really ever have. I've always been a huge Ronaldo defender, I feel. But still, the age... Like, you want to, David, say, all right, fine, but now he'll digress. Yeah. Now he'll take a step down. Well, I've learned my lesson. Once again, I didn't really do this with Tom Brady, but Tom Brady, I kept thinking that every year. Like, okay, come on, he has to take a step down now. But when you get to this type of a disciplined athlete, it's all possible. So I think he can get over, but I don't think he will get over. And once again, I have a similar reason behind it that I do with Lukaku. Not the top tier thing. Obviously, Ronaldo's top tier. But it might be also based off one of his teammates, and I won't spoil that. So I'll say Ronaldo is just a skosh under that, 26 or 27. What are you taking?
Ah, I like how cautious you are here. I'm curious to see what happens with the next two. But Yeah, I think you make a good point. Look, Ronaldo started actually pretty slow last year, and there was starting to talk about the decline was here. And then he went on that insane streak where I think he scored like in 12 goals in a row. I mean, he carried Juve in the second half of the season. I have some caution, though, because that's one thing. Although he didn't get along with Sarri, Sarri did get great production from him. I do think Zico, who looks like he's definitely going to Juve, is going to help Ronaldo. So I'm going to go over, but I don't think he breaks 30. So I'm going to say he ends up right at 29, just right over. I'm a little more cautious than you on Pirlo. I do have faith in Ronaldo. So now let's get to the teammates of these two strikers. And these are really interesting for different reasons. Let's start with Dybala. Let's stay on Juve. So last season, despite getting all the accolades that he did, and I thought he played well, he had some really, really clutch goals. I would say, you know, more than the number of goals, it was the importance of those goals that kind of made him the MVP for Juve that some had, although Ronaldo definitely had the better season. So last season, he has 11. I'm going to set the over-under 12.5 for this season. What do you go? You're going to go over or under for Dybala, Alex?
I'm going over. 26. Now's the time. Now's the time to tell us what version of Dybala he's going to be, how we're going to remember him, in my opinion. We know the talent he has. We know maybe not all of it has been in his control, but a lot of it has been. And I like Dybala, always have. I think he's going to have a really good season under Pirlo. I know he's 26, but I still view him as the age where playing for Pirlo is probably fairly surreal. And I know a lot about that dynamic at Chelsea, where they're playing for Frank Lampard. And if you're even Ziyech's age, who's 27, it's freaking surreal for him, let alone if you're 21, 22, 23. And I think you're going to get top work rate out of Dybala, a really locked in player. And if he's locked in and playing a lot, and I don't know, once again, Pirlo, we don't know what he's going to do, but I feel like Pirlo would cater to Dybala's talent as long as he's earning it, of course, in training and everything. So I expect a nice season out of Dybala, and I totally think he has the talent to get 13, 14, maybe even 15 goals. So I'm going to say over. I'm high on Dybala this season. What about you?
No, I love Dybala, one of my favorite players in Serie A. But it does, as the fact that Zeko is arriving makes me more optimistic for Ronaldo than it does Dybala. I just think it's so hard to find a good tactical location for Dybala, and it seemed to work the best. It was him and Ronaldo as the main strikers up front. So the Dzeko there, he's going to be the center forward. Dybala is either going to play right behind him or on the wing. Not great for him. I'm a big fan of his, but I'm going to go under here. I think he ends up right around 10, 11. I'll say I think he'll do well in the Champions League, but I think in Serie A, as much as I like Dzeko for Ronaldo, it makes me a little bit more cautious for Dybala. Now let's go to Lautaro Martinez. Fascinating one. For a while, I would say before the pandemic ended, the matches Lukaku and Lautaro were considered in many ways as good a duo of strikers in Europe, complement each other really, really well. Then Lautaro, once all the rumors on Barcelona started, struggled. I thought he finished the season okay, but there was a struggle there for a while. Last season, he ends up with 14 goals. I'm going to set the over under at 14 and a half in Serie A. What are you going for? I think I know what the answer is here, but tell us what.
Yeah, I think he's going to get over. I'm not saying a 20 goal season, but I just feel like Lautaro is going to have a really good season, in my opinion. And he'll be a huge reason why Inter make it so, so close with Juve. I think he's good for 15, 16 goals. I think I want to see a more complete season from Lautaro, where goals can be counted on at a somewhat consistent rate. But I think with even more of a chemistry there with Lukaku and the team better, for sure. I mean, better. And having more guys to help him out, like Hakimi up the wing there. So, yeah, I just think that if you're high on Lautaro Martinez, let's put it this way. If you're high on him and high on his future, well, I think you would think this is the logical next step season. That's my opinion. And he has a good team around him to put him on that platform to do it. So I think Lautaro gets 15, maybe 16 goals. So I'm going over. What about you, David?
Yep, good. This is the first time we agree. I'm going to go over for Lautaro. Look, it's great that we have a, you know, we're having different takes. I agree with you. I don't think it'll be a huge more than 14. And look, I'm very bullish on Lukaku. I think he'll have a lot of goals. If you told me between the two of them, they have 40 goals, I would buy that. And actually, that would be, if you told me over under, both of them combined, 39 and a half, I take the over. I think it's just how it breaks down. But I'm with you. I think Lautaro will have a very good season. I think he's going to get a new contract at Inter. Let's see what happens with his release clause. Barcelona looks like such a mess that maybe he's not dreaming of playing there anymore, and he'll be serene at Inter. And look, I'm bullish on Inter this season, so I'll go over. Okay, so those were really the strikers in the title race. So now let's get to the strikers more in the Champions League. And let's start with Duvan Zapata, the main striker at Atalanta. I picked him because Ilicic, we really don't know exactly what his timeline is for playing. Papu Gomez getting over, but getting older. Zapata, though, is right smack towards the end of his prime. Last season, sensational, although he missed games, he only appeared in 28 Serie A games. He still scored 18 goals. Really, really impressive. So I'm going to go over under for Zapata, 19 and a half. What are you going to go with, Alex?
You know, I'm going to use my same reasoning here that I went under on Lukaku, because I like Zapata. But if he gets over here, I think I have to adjust just how much I like him. So I'm going to be stubborn and say, yeah, he'll have a good season, but a good season can easily be 15, 16, 17. I know he's good for more than that. Trust me, I'm not underrating him, but I'm almost being stubborn and not budging that I have to maybe adjust just how much I rate him. So I'm going to go a skosh under, David. What about you?
I'm going over. Because, look, I think Muriel's a sensational backup. He can back up almost the whole front line. They brought in Miranchuk as well. The thing with Atalanta is they're going to score a lot of goals, but they're going to have a lot of people scoring those goals. But when I look at Zapata, he really is pretty unique on that front line, unless he has a lot of injuries. And look, last season he missed time and still put up 18. Atalanta had the best attack in Serie A. I'm going over. I'm pretty bullish on Atalanta, as we'll get to when we do our rankings. Next up, this is a, I will say this was probably the toughest over under to do just because he's coming off such a ridiculous season. So the Capocannoniere, the highest goal scorer last season was Immobile, matched Higuain's record, 36 goals in Serie A. Look, you know, even if I chop off 6 goals from that, do it an over under that says you have to get to 30. It doesn't give enough credit to how hard that is to do, especially in Serie A. So I'm still going to have a monster season for Immobile as an over under 27.5. So that's, you know, it's a drop off of 8.5 compared. He can still hit it by going 8 less goals than Serie A. So what are you going to go, Alex? 27.5 for Immobile, over or under?
Yeah, see, this is tough because I think you set a good number there. Obviously, noting there how ridiculous it would be to come anywhere close to what he did last season. But 27.5 is tough because I certainly don't think he's going to better last season's total. And I don't think he'll be mid-30s, really. I'd even be surprised if he cracks 30. But you have to think, if fit, and you really have to say that for everybody for this, he should be having another good season. It just all works for Immobile. I've talked about it a lot, that he's just so comfortable where he is. And that's hugely important for strikers. If they feel at home and they feel confidence in their team and how they help, they can consistently be effective. So by no means do I think Immobile is going to have a poor season. I totally think he's cracking 20. Definitely. I think he'll have another 20-goal season. 27.5, I mean, 28 is still a lot. And if he has 28, once again, we're talking about like changing a narrative. He's going to need much more respect worldwide. I'm going to say, and that's not the reason I'm going under. I'm going to go under just because, despite me thinking you set a great number, it still is tough to say over 27.5. So, man, maybe he gets 24 or something. I'll go under. What about you, David?
Yeah, I agree. And but, you know, part of me feels that, you know, I've been too down on Lazio recently, because at the end of the day, you look at the squad, they really haven't lost anyone. They bring in more depth. And I got to wonder, I mean, one of the reasons why I'm going to go under is the Champions League, and that Lazio brought in Muriqi, who's supposed to be an excellent backup potential striker that can start with him. So I just don't know how Lazio are going to handle the Champions League. Are they going to play Immobile and maybe rotate a little bit more? It's going to be a condensed schedule again with the season starting late. So I'm big on Immobile, but I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to go under. And you know what's crazy is he could have 25 goals and people are going to think that's a down season for him. And that tells you what a great standard he set in recent years. So I agree with you. I'm going to go under. But I still think he definitely gets over 20. And I think that would be the sixth season or fifth season he gets over 20, which really puts him in just absurd company. Okay, so now let's go to a new player to the league. Of all the ones we've done today, he's the first one newcomer to the league. So a little bit harder to say, but you've known him for a while. You're a fan of his signing. And this is Osimhen, who arrives at Napoli. He seems to have a fit into the team quite well. I think if Gattuso plays counter-attacking, he could fit in, which seems to be the case. He could do quite well. So last season, Osimhen had 13 goals in Liga. In Serie A, I'm going to put an over-under of 11.5 for him. I'm going to be, you know, not too harsh, making it too high. What do you take? You think he gets to at least 12?
You know what? When I first thought about this, and this isn't smart on my part, but when I first thought about this, I was like, oh, that's a really good number, and I think it is. But I was like, I'll go with 9, 10, or 11, because that could still be a good first season in a new league at his age, where you can then project to the second season being much better, maybe even breakout. But now, and you're supposed to go with your gut, so maybe I'll be wrong. Now that I chew on it a little bit more, I want to be a little bit more bold on Victor Osimhen. I really like him, and I think he is probably at the right situation, like you just talked about, especially if he is playing on the counter a decent amount. He's got blistering pace. He works really hard. He's got a hunger and a fire to him. I like the player. I really like the player, so I'm going to have some fun and back the player here. It's probably the one I'm least sure on. Well, not too sure on any, but yeah, let's go over. I'm going to say Victor Osimhen gets 13 or 14 goals in Serie A, and he immediately becomes a name to watch for the following season. So yeah, over. David, what about you?
Yeah, I'll agree with you. I don't think it'll be by a lot. I also really like Petagna, who's his backup, who plays really a different style. But I do think Gattuso is going to stick to his Catenaccio counterattack, and Osimhen's obviously much better suited for that. When I look at the rest of Napoli, they have a nice squad, him being the main striker with the support that he's going to have there. Lozano, I have a good comeback season. Insigne finished the season well. Fabian Ruiz definitely going to look to bounce back. So, yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to go over. So now let's get to Milik. So as we're recording, it looks like Milik is going to head to Roma with Dzeko to Juve. They're just going over the final details with Napoli. I guess they are going over some previous fines that need to be paid or whatnot. But I'm going on the assumption Milik is going to be at Roma and is going to be the main striker there. So last season, Milik, as always, has a very good goal per minute average and ends up with 11 goals in Serie A in just 26 matches. I'm going to set the over-under with him. He'll be the main striker at Roma. Really not much competition. Pretty good supporting cast. I'm going to set the over-under at 14.5 for Milik at Roma. You going to take over or under?
I feel really bad about this. We might disagree on this one again. I'm going under, and I know that he has the talent you've always vouched for. I do think he's a good player. I just have a feeling, unfortunately, he's going to be this player that we look back on and say, man, it could have been so much better. So I think he'll do well when he's out there. I'm going to say he cracks double digits, but does not get over 14.5. I'm saying under. What about you, David?
I love Milik.
Yep.
I'm going to go over. I like the supporting cast. I think Mkhitaryan is going to have a monster season. He was really, really good in the second half. Last year, your boy Pedro is going to help a little bit. Obviously, it hurts that he doesn't have Zaniolo, but I'm going to go over. I always feel good about Milik. Of course, he could get injured. Let's see how his... And look, Roma has some doubts on his health. They're having the medical being done in Innsbruck in Austria, where Zaniolo had the surgery, which right away, that's kind of a red flag to me, but I'm going to go on the assumption that he can stay healthy and make it. So now let's go to Zlatan, who's another fascinating one. Zlatan, really, really good once he joined Milan. So he has 10 goals in 18 games last season. Now, granted, he is getting up there in age, but even yesterday looked good in Milan's first match in the Europa League. I'm going to set the over-under for Zlatan at 14.5, which for a player of his age is insane. But again, he had 10 in 18 games last year. You taking the over or the under, Alex?
Wow, I'm really torn on this one. I really am. It's another one of like, why would you doubt the player, Alex? Because they're just not normal. Oh, man. I mean, if he's out there, he just most likely will score. That's the thing. Ah, damn. I mean, I want to be bold because Zlatan would be bold. And I feel like it's almost disingenuous to say anything but over if it's Zlatan, because you know if we were in the room with him, David, let's be real, we can be as confident in what we say as possible. But if Zlatan told you, David, say it's going to be over, you would say, okay, fine, over. I mean, that's the impact Zlatan has. So maybe I just shouldn't be two-faced and I should say over. Screw it. I'm all into the fact that Zlatan will still score. I mean, I'm literally going to be the biggest wuss here and say he gets 15. So he gets right over and nothing more. But yeah, I still think Zlatan is important to Milan this season. I think he knows that. I think we kind of knew that would be the case. You and I were so spot on. I mean, I'm sure others were as well, but just having him there would do so much for the vibe there. And just as long as they can keep him around, the better. And him knowing that, I'm sure he'll just continue to thrive off of that. So yeah, let's say he gets 15. I'm very nervous about that one, but yeah, 15. What about you, David?
Yeah, I feel good about that. I agree for all the reasons that you said, the age, but I'm bullish on Milan overall. I think they're going to have a good season. Kalanoglu, Rebic, like all these players really benefited so much with Zlatan, Leao too. So yeah, I'm going to go over. I feel pretty good about that over. And again, kudos to Zlatan at his age that we can even consider doing an over-under like that. So before we get to the rankings of the top teams in Serie A, I have just one more over-under. Calcioland favorite, Belotti, who's been linked to Spurs, but I think he's going to stay at Torino. Ends up last season with 16. I'm going to 16.5 is the over-under I set for him. You're going to go over or under for Belotti?
You know what? I'm going to go over. I mean, I'm actually using the same logic, but this time in a different way that I use on a couple other players. Like, I think Belotti probably needs a little bit more credit. I still think people don't view him the right way, because when he had that huge season, David, you remember, and then we got all these people talking about why do Torino set his release clause at that price. You remember that whole era of Belotti.
Yeah, and then
the next season wasn't as impressive, and you had a lot of people saying, especially who don't watch Serie A, that he was a complete bust or flop. And I feel like he's proven since then that that is way too harsh. And I think he gets 17, 18, 19 and remains in the conversation of strikers you have to take seriously in Serie A. So I say 17, 18, or 19 for him. I'm saying over. What about you?
Yeah, I'm all in on Belotti. I totally agree with you. Deserves more respect. I actually think this is the season where it happens. I'm cautiously optimistic for Gianpaolo at Torino. Think about Belotti goes from Mazzarri and Longo last season. Those are very defensive managers, to Gianpaolo, who on paper is an offensive-minded coach. Gianpaolo brings in players that he knows, that knows his system, and I think Belotti is going to really benefit. Torino is a much better fit for Gianpaolo than Milan. So based on that, and because I really, really rate Belotti, wouldn't surprise me if he gets 220. Okay, always great fun to do over-unders with you. Alex, we're going to do a few more in the patron part of the podcast, since our patrons sent us a few more, some that are quite challenging, so get ready for those.
Awesome. All right, well, David, let's further our previewing of the Serie A season. We have made it accustomed to do over-unders on the pod, but also we have to do our top six predictions. It's fun, certainly, to look back, just like the over-unders, and see what we said before the season started. So when it comes to predicting the top six, David, who do you have?
So let's say that last year we did quite well because, you know, Juve and Inter were kind of a given. We were both very high on Lazio, and they did make it to the Champions League. We didn't expect Atalanta to live up to it. So I think last year we did pretty well. So we talked a lot on Tuesday about Inter and Juve. So I won't go too much into it. Alex has Juve. I have Inter by a nose. We had, as part of that discussion, we were going on the assumption Dzeko to Juve and Vidal to Inter. And as we're recording today, that continues to be the case. I simply pick Inter because I think the squads are incredibly comparable, but I give Conte a decent edge over Pirlo. So when we don't have to beat those to death. So I have Inter slightly over Juve. Then third, for me, it was really tough, but I ended up landing on Atalanta just because I think their system, those players have been there for a long time, the core of the team. They really haven't lost anyone substantial as we're recording. Castagne left. He was one of the super subs along with Muriel. They had Tameze, who barely played. He's now on Verona. That's who they lost. They did bring in some good players. Miranchuk, I think Romero is an upgrade on defense. Not a great upgrade, but, you know, he helps. There, they could potentially keep Pessina at a very good season at Verona. And the reason why I'm going to pick Atalanta third is they showed me they can handle both the Champions League and Serie A at the same time, which is not something I can say for some of the other teams So I'm going to go on Atalanta third. And again, you guys saw that I'm very high on Zapata. Then next up, fourth place. Very, very tough. For me, Inter and Juve are tier one. After that, you kind of have a tier that has Atalanta, Napoli, Lazio, Milan, lesser extent Roma because of Zaniolo's injury. But at the end of the day, when I look at the squad, I'm going to pick Napoli to finish fourth. And this is with or without Koulibaly, which makes it really hard. Let's say Koulibaly leaves. I am still pretty high on Manolas, Maximovic as the starters. Manolas actually played better with Maximovic than he did with Koulibaly. While Napoli did lose, and let's go on the assumption Koulibaly leaves, and there's a decent chance he could stay. Even say Koulibaly leaves, all the players that left were coming off down season, so they could be big, big names, but they weren't playing at the level they were before. I like that Napoli brought in them and Lobotka. They brought them in January. So they're kind of new additions, but new additions that already have experience on the team. I like Romani, who arrived from Verona, Petagna from Spal, very good depth. There's some uncertainty at the goalkeeper position at Napoli, but I do think the fact that Mire wasn't loaned out so far gives me an inclination that he'll probably play more regularly, and I think he's a big upgrade on Ospina. So I'm going to go Napoli fourth. Then Lazio and Milan, to me, are a coin toss. I think there's been a lot of positive momentum on Milan. They are a team that, you know, finished the season strong, got off to a good start yesterday. They've had a great transfer window. Perception, both perception and reality-wise, have been a great window for them. But I still like Lazio's core. You guys know I like to break down teams in blue and red chip players. At the end of the day, Lazio's blue chip players, Immobile, Milinkovic-Savic, Luis Alberto, Acerbi, Lucas Leiva. I think that five players really as good as almost any team in Serie A. If you take the top five players, any teams, you'd be hard pressed to do better than that. And I like the supporting cast, Correa, Lazzari, Strakosha is a pretty good keeper. They add Muriqi, they have more depth. So I'm going to go Lazio just an inch over Milan. You look at Milan's blue chip players, you have Donnarumma, Hernandez, Romagnoli, Ibrahimovic. You know, complementary players, we have Kalanoglu, Chiar, Kessie, Benacer, Tonali, Rebic. And, you know, you could maybe make a case that Benacer is a blue chip player, but I don't think they're quite there. I think Milan players, all their red chip players, except for Chiar, have the potential to be blue chip players. But Lazio just gives me a little bit more certainty. I think they have a decent amount of depth to be able to handle both the Champions League and Serie A. So I'm going to have Lazio fifth and Milan, but I could literally see Lazio, Milan, and Napoli. You could change the order of these three anyway, and I wouldn't totally disagree. Roma, I have behind, as we talked recently. I really like what they're doing for the future. I like Kumbula coming in for Smalling, who still might return. But Kumbula is much younger, obviously, and bringing in Milik for Dzeko makes sense. But at the end of the day, when I did my blue chip, red chip players, the only blue chip players on Roma were Zaniolo and Dzeko. Zaniolo's injured. Dzeko's leaving. I think Milik is more of a red chip player. Same with Kumbula with the potential. So I think it makes perfect sense what Roma is doing, but I think they are 1 year away. So, Alex, to recap, I have Inter, Juve, Atalanta, Napoli, Lazio, Milan, and Roma in my ranking. What do you think about that? We know you have Juve above Inter, but what about the rest of the ranking?
Well, I don't mean this as an insult to Roma, but once again, you know I'm always down with a list that has Roma last because I just am never high on them. And I can't explain it. I promise to people listening, it's not personal. And you know that even though I'm on board with the whole Milan's moving in a better direction, better vibe, you know that I'm quite often hesitant on putting them high. And I think besides our obvious disagreement on first, so I have Inter and Juve swapped, I have Juve first and Inter second. That's where it gets tough for me with Atalanta, Napoli, and Lazio because, I mean, Atalanta, yeah, I have to stick into third. I have to agree with you there because I really just think they're so dangerous and I don't expect a big drop-off. I think they're a team that, once again, will just earn more respect this season. And Napoli and Lazio is probably where I'm trying to disagree with you just to be a little bit different. But honestly, I think I like how you have Napoli a skosh ahead of Lazio. I just don't expect the same season for Lazio, unfortunately. So, yeah, I think my only disagreement is top spot. I like the list. And once again, I think Inter will be close to Juve, but I go Juve, Inter, Atalanta, Napoli, Lazio, Milan, and Roma. So, yeah, pretty much.
Awesome. All right. Should be a fantastic season. And I will say, although we have Juve and Inter as the clear top, I am going to say that I'm not going to completely exclude Atalanta from really shocking us and kind of being in the race at one point like they were when they played Juve, which for 1 second we were wondering, oh, can Atalanta actually win? I'm not going to put it past them completely either, although it does feel like a two-horse race between Juve and Inter wouldn't shock me at all.
I feel like
Atalanta's in the mix. Go ahead.
I feel like if there are gamblers out there, they should put their money on Atalanta because the odds will be really good, but they have that outside chance.
And plus, it will be a really fun bet to track because if that forces you to watch more Atalanta, that's only a good thing. Okay, so those were Alex and I's prediction for the season. Let's see how we did. Last year we did pretty well, but now let's hear from Calcioland's own Oracle. I will say when he comes on the show, he is a little bit more serious. Maybe the rest of our guests rub off on him. So here I think you can take him at his word. When he starts making his game predictions next week, maybe don't take the same approach, but we are thrilled to have Thousand Names with us for another season as well. So we couldn't do a season preview of Serie A, which starts this weekend, without our dear friend Thousand Names. Long-term listeners of the podcast always enjoy his game picks, which we do on a weekly basis. Him and I pick 3 games, but with the season starting, we always want to get Thousands predictions for the season. We have to give him a lot of credit. He picked Immobile to be the capocannoniere last year. He was 100% correct. After the pandemic, he picked Inter to win the Scudetto, and it got pretty close, and I laughed when he picked them, but he was almost right. So we're curious to see what he has to say for the season. So Thousand, come sempre, un piacere averti sul podcast. Sei tanti dei nostri ascoltatori adorano i tuoi interventi, per cui bentornato to Calcioland.
Ciao ragazzi, è sempre un piacere e buon calcio a tutti.
Ottimo, so he gives best wishes to everyone for the season. Allora, we're going to start, we're going to do some predictions, we're going to do Scudetto, Champions League, leading goal scorers, and the 3 teams going to Serie B. So as usual, we'll do them Italian-English, and I'll translate it. For those of you learning Italian, this will be fun. But I'll translate it for those that aren't familiar with Italian. So let's start with the Scudetto. So, Thousand, quale squadra pensi che vincerà lo Scudetto quest'anno?
Mai come quest'anno, l'ho deciso sull'Inter, perché la squadra dell'anno scorso ha aggiunto Hakimi in attesa di Vidal. Sono 2 giocatori che si inseriscono perfettamente negli schemi di Conte. E fondamentalmente, a parte Godin, non ha perso titolari. Quindi Godin, che per gran parte della stagione non ha giocato. Quindi vado forte sull'Inter. Penso che Conte questo scudetto non possa perderlo.
Ok, so Thousand agrees with me. He's picking Inter, and the reason why he picked Inter is he said they didn't lose any significant players. Godin may leave, but as he pointed out, Godin wasn't a starter for most of the season, so they really haven't lost anyone. And they added Hakimi and Vidal, who is imminent, and Thousand thinks they fit perfectly into the squad, and this is Conte's season to win. I tend to agree on this one. Okay, excellent, Thousand. Facciamo le squadre della Champions League, se vuoi dare i nomi delle tre squadre e dopo spiegare perché le hai scelte. So I'm going to ask Thousand to give us the three other teams in the Champions League first and then we'll briefly talk about them. Quali altre tre squadre vedi in Champions, Thousand?
Ah, prendo Juventus, Atalanta e Napoli. Juventus perché nonostante il cambio di allenatore, voglio dire, peggio di Sarri, Pirlo non può fare. E quindi gli 80 punti la Juventus li fa.
Ok, so let's start. Fammi spiegare questo. Let me give this. So he picks Juve as one and he says that the coaching change shouldn't have that big of an impact because of the team structure and track record. So we have Juve as one of the other teams. And then Atalanta, and tell us, spiegaci perché hai scelto l'Atalanta.
Ho scelto l'Atalanta perché è una squadra che da 4-5 anni ormai è all'apice del campionato italiano e merita massimo rispetto. Oltretutto si dimostra la più brava a fare mercato, ha venduto Castagna che era la riserva di Gosens e diciamo Kulusevski che era praticamente una ragazzina della primavera e ha incassato circa 50 milioni riuscendo a prendere Milanciuk che è fortissimo. Io credo che se Ilicic ritrovi la forma la fisica e mentale, il terzo posto l'Atalanta non lo toglie nessuno.
Ok, so Thousand picks Atalanta to be third. He says for the past 4 or 5 years they've been at the top of Italian football. He says they're very shrewd on the transfer market. They sold Gosens, Reserve, Castagna and Kulusevski, who wasn't on the team, got great returns on them. Thousand is a big fan of Miranchuk, who is their big arrival so far. He thinks Ilicic's going to be able to contribute, so he feels very good about Atalanta being third. Good pick. And the last team, you said Napoli. Spiegaci perché hai scelto Napoli su Milan, Roma, Lazio e le altre squadre. Cos'ha il Napoli in più rispetto alle altre?
Ma in realtà è stata più una scelta per esclusione che delle altre che per chi creda molto nel Napoli. E comunque è una squadra che le sue partite poi alla fine del campionato le vince. E pur senza incantare, io credo che comunque parta con delle certezze superiori rispetto al Milan, alla Lazio che diciamo deve fare la Champions, e quindi è tutta da verificare con i tre impegni settimanali. E la Roma è una squadra che in questo momento non può essere considerata.
Okay, so Thousand said he picked Napoli more because of concerns over the other teams. He said they are a solid team, but he says Lazio playing in the Champions League is going to be a factor. Milan still not completely proven, and he said Roma shouldn't even be considered, and I kind of agree because you look at I like what Roma's doing, but they're building more towards the future, which makes sense. So Thousand has Inter winning the Scudetto, Juve second, Atalanta third, Napoli fourth. Sounds like Thousand and I are kind of on the same page here. Siamo, devo dire che penso che abbiamo le top quattro squadre assieme. So last year, as I mentioned, Thousand names picked Immobile to be the capocannoniere in Serie A. He ended up being right, was the golden boot for all of Europe. Quest'anno chi sarà il capocannoniere in Serie A, Thousand?
Ma in realtà quest'anno ho ancora meno dubbi rispetto all'anno scorso. Vado forse su Lukaku perché quest'anno avrà un giocatore in più in grado di servirlo come Achimi. Conosce ancora meglio l'ambiente, il calcio italiano. Poi è un grandissimo rigorista, quindi vado forse su Lukaku sopra i 30 gol.
Wow, Thousand, bold, 30 goals or more this season for Lukaku. He points out that Lukaku is more familiar with Serie A. It's important to note he arrived late last year and he did well. So he says Thousand that Lukaku knows Serie A and that he has Hakimi on the team, which is an extra weapon. Someone is going to give him some crosses, and he said he's a great penalty kicker. So Thousand going for Lukaku with over 30 goals or more. Bold pick, but I like it. Ottima scelta, Thousand. Okay, let's look. Guardiamo alla salvezza. Now we're going to look at the relegation race. Quali saranno le tre squadre che vanno in Serie B? So I'm going to ask Thousand the three teams that are going to be relegated to Serie B.
Come negli ultimi anni, anche questa stagione credo che le neopromosse faticheranno molto. quello di una Spezia io le considero già in Serie B. Il Benevento è una buona squadra per la salvezza, ma Inzaghi si è dimostrato inadatto alla Serie A, quindi se lo licenziano subito potrebbe essere Calva, altrimenti è destinato alla Serie B. Vedo male, anzi malissimo, il Parma per chi ha cambiato allenatore e il Verona per chi ha venduto mezza squadra con Bulla, Rachmani, Amrabat, sono giocatori fondamentali per il Verona.
Allora dici Parma o Verona per la terza? Ne hai messo, o pensi che il Crotone si salva e saranno Parma e Verona?
No,
che
vanno in B? Io credo che alla fine scenderà anche il Benevento, però se il Benevento dovesse salvarsi, vedo male il Verona.
Ok, so 1000 gives Crotone as a given. He has doubts on Benevento, who have a pretty good squad, but he's not sold on Inzaghi, who he predicted could be the first coach fired. And then for the third team, he has Parma and Verona. I'm sorry? Spezia, yeah. So he said all the newly promoted teams are going to struggle, but if Benevento can save themselves, he picks one out of Parma and Verona. And I agree, Parma especially looks vulnerable to me because they've made changes. Verona sold a lot of players. Parma made the coaching change. So 1000, grande, sempre un piacere averti sul podcast. You guys will hear from 1000 on the podcast once in a while, but he will always send us the picks and we'll read them on the show. So 1000, grazie mille, siamo molto contenti di fare un'altra stagione con te con i pronostici. Grazie per gli ottimi pronostici per la stagione e aspettiamo i tuoi pronostici durante la settimana e a presto, amico.
A presto, ragazzi. Un saluto.
Okay. Always great to hear from our friend 1000 Names. And now let's preview some more the Serie A season with Richard Hall. We went over some of the main storylines at the top of the table. So for our Serie A preview podcast, I am beyond thrilled to welcome a dear friend of mine, one of our long-term guest who's been on many times, one of our favorites, our dear friend Richard Hall, who is the chief correspondent for Football Italia. He is the creator of one of my favorite websites, The Gentleman Ultra, which looks at the history of Serie A, the culture around Italian football really, really well. He's also featured on Guardian Sports. Those of you in the U.S. hear him frequently on Sirius XM. So, Richard, it's always a pleasure to chat with you. Bentornato to Calcioland.
I'm so pleased to be back on my favorite podcast. And, you know, we've got a new Serie A season, and there's no one I'd rather be talking about this with. It's happened quickly, hasn't it? But it's back.
That's right. It has happened quickly. And, yeah, it's wonderful to speak to you, my friend. So let's talk about the title. Most people have Inter and Juve kind of in their own tier, if in their squads, pretty comparable. We'll get to the coaching in a second. But I want to ask you in general, how do you feel about these two teams? And do you have a favorite for the title between these two?
I mean, anyone who knows me from social media doesn't need to work out my leanings, but I've been very honest in many podcasts with yourself before that I would say the Juve in the sense of, you know, I just think that it's, you're mad to bet against them. I still think that Juve will be extremely competitive this year, but this is Inter's best chance.
Yeah.
And I know I'm saying what everyone thinks. Pirlo, you know, we don't know. Andrea Pirlo, you can't not love Andrea Pirlo, but we don't know him as a coach. What have we seen? We've seen half a game, really. Well, a game against Novara where they won 5-0. And, you know, they looked, it's Novara, but they looked good. They played almost for me that in a way that you'd expect Pirlo to play. You know, lots of possession. He quoted the other day that he wants to play with, like, his influences, Guardiola and Cruyff. So we know what he wants to do. It's funny because he's also a big fan of Max Allegri. So, I think we're going to not see something. I think there'll be some sort of fusion there. And could it work? Of course it could, because it's Juventus at the end of the day and he embodies that mindset. However, and this is my however, and this is one thing that I think that's going to be quite exciting about this season. Antonio Conte is setting his stall out here. And it's, I think with Inter, it's now or never. He said that's not my words. The transfer policy goes towards that. You know, we saw the likes of Sandro Tognoli not go to Inter. Inter backed out of that. Let's be honest. Antonio Conte, if he can go to Inter after being a Juventus legend, he doesn't give a jot about Inter being competitive in 10 years' time. This is about Antonio Conte. Just like Jose Mourinho is about Jose Mourinho. He wants to win this season. That's why we're seeing the likes. He's still trying to get Vidal in if he can get Kondrava out the door. You know, you look at Kolarov, an experienced head. I'm not going to go into the whole Godin situation because that confuses me, but he's getting players in now that will win in the title alongside that very competitive squad he's got. So for me, it's going to be really exciting. I'm going to tip Inter because the only reason is that Inter was so competitive last year, and because the break is so small, I think, and this isn't just about Inter, Juve, I think any team who maintains a very similar squad with the coach and the system, because there's been no preseason, has an advantage. And that's why I'm going to tip Inter. We don't know what Pirlo is going to do, but we do know what Antonio Conte is going to do. But I will say this. I think if Antonio Conte doesn't win it this season, I think it could be bye-bye, Mr. Tony. I think it's... But it's going to be some fun, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you that Inter's really going all in this season. And part of me, you know, I understand why Juve does look vulnerable. They invested a lot in Conte, the players, Hakimi, Zin. But you're right, it's a title or bust, really, because they've gone all in. They were linked to a lot of intriguing young players. I can understand the logic of wanting to win now. But if you don't win now, then it's, you know, losing out on Kulusevski, Kumbula, Tonali, then that's when it starts adding up. So you hinted earlier that we don't know much about Pirlo as a coach and Conte's all in for the season. So we've been debating, both Alex and I asked Napoli Outsider, if you had to estimate how many points Conte is worth over the uncertainty of Pirlo, we've been anywhere between 6 to 8 points, the advantage we give Conte to Inter over Pirlo at Juve. Do you agree? Do you see it differently? Or do you think it's just impossible to say with all the uncertainty with Pirlo?
It's so hard. It's so difficult because I look at Juventus overall. And, if, you know, if Pirlo is going to want to play... Listen, Pirlo's going to want to play a game that's built on a solid defence, but he also wants to have possession. It's going to be a bit slower than what a Sadi ball apparently would have been. You can understand it, but then again, they're wanting that sort of Zidane effect. And, you know, first of all, if you ask me that question in my head, I think, you know, 6 to 9 points for Conte, then I just look at the picture of Pirlo and I reduce it to 3. You look at him and you think, Juventus don't need coaching. They're not a side. That's what my problem always was with Maurizio Sarri. You look at Ronaldo's reaction when he's trying to tell him, you know, you should be doing this and this, and etc. Ronaldo's rolling his eyes. This guy embodies Juventus in the sense of the modern Juventus. He knows what it is. He's about, you know, the players will ultimately respect him. So I think that holds a lot of weight. I don't think we can dismiss Pirlo for that. However, as I said before, the way that Conte had the team playing, that aggression that they had, you know, the signing so far, yeah, Hakimi's a great signing, but the rest of them look like they're doubling up. Really interested to see if Pinamonti comes back as a fourth striker or whether they're moving on. There's still players like Perisic who can go. I think there'll be a few moves still for Inter in that market. But I think, as I said before, you know, Conte's going to go all out. And the thing is, when I look back over last season, Barella, Martinez, Lukaku, we can name most of half the team came out and said, we're playing for this guy. So, again, he's also got that effect. So, you know what? Hard. In my head, I'm saying 6 points. In my heart, I think only 3. Because, I mean, and that's from someone who, with a Milanese base in a sense, because I just think with Pirlo, I can see him getting a tune out of players who don't need coaching. They just want to get on the pitch and... Difficult question that one, Dave. Difficult question.
I hear you now. Hey, we try to test people, and that's why we have you on. So let me ask you about the top four. Last year, we had Lazio and Atalanta qualify, I think, fairly surprisingly. A lot of people expected a drop-off from Atalanta, and they maintain. When you look at them, which of the two teams has a better chance of staying in the top four, in your opinion?
Now, this is interesting. This is the part of the podcast where I get slammed, because normally people, I think, would say that this is the most difficult question, but I actually think this is a fairly easy question, because for me, for Atalanta, what I love about them, I mean, last season, third, 78 points. They're incredible. One of the best sides to watch playing Champions League they had, the campaign they had. And also as well, you know, what I keep trying to, whether it's on radio or podcast, whatever, I keep pushing on this, is that Atalanta have achieved all this. And what do we think about Atalanta? We seem to have an amazing youth system. But for the last three, 4 seasons, they haven't had that. It's not been there. The players haven't been coming through. But their under-19s to under-20s has been a really, really good crop of players coming through. And now they're going to see that development start to be able to... They're going to be able to pick from that crop, in a sense. So for me, with the extremely intelligent transfer moves they made, their scouting network, Gasperini, I think Atalanta are going to be superb. And I'll tell you for why. It's simply because you can, if I look at a lot of teams in, and go, okay, let's compare them straight away to Lazio. If you take Immobile out of Lazio, you have a problem. You take Milinkovic-Savic out, you have a problem. I think you can take anyone out of that, and I'm talking even about Papu Gomez or Ilicic, you can take players out of that squad, and anyone who comes in knows the system, knows what they're doing, and they'll still perform. For me, they're more of a team. I think that Lazio's inability to strengthen in this window, I think it's been. I was really hoping that Lazio would move on. I have a massive soft spot for Lazio, you know. And I just feel that it's frustrating in some respects for me to see that they've not pushed on like they should have. I mean, even when you look at the transfers they brought in, like Pepe Reina in goal, yeah. So Berisha's gone out. What's the difference? You know, you look at the Fares coming in is probably the best they've got there. You know, but you look again. Maniki Fenerbahce, okay. You know, again, it's nothing that's going to make you think that it's really strengthening them. So I worry for Lazio a little bit. I mean, listen, like last season, if everyone stays fit, Lazio is still in contention to do, so maybe even go on better and push the title again. But it's if everyone stays fit and everyone's a year older. And so for me, Atalanta are the more complete team. So I would, if my money would go on Atalanta. So everyone can absolutely slate me when Lazio go win the Scudetto.
No, but I think you gave a fantastic reason as to why the system and how you can plug in to replace even Papu Gomez. And look, we saw that with Atalanta. They lost Ilicic. They were still scoring a ridiculous amount of goals. So I think you make a very valid point. I think your logic, I totally get what you're saying there. So now let's look at some teams trying to break into the top four. We know Roma has the injuries to Zaniolo. Right before we started recording, it sounds like Milik's going to replace Dzeko. But when we look at teams trying to break into the top four, when Napoli, Milan, and Roma, which of these do you give a better chance? And it sounds like you are thinking that Lazio might take a step back. Which team do you see taking a step forward potentially into the top four?
I'll start with Roma, even though I don't think probably they'll be... I think that's the season. I think we'll be talking more about Roma the season after. But I like what I'm seeing from them because, you know, obviously with Kambala coming in, Pedro on a freeze, just a no-brainer, really. He's only going to add depth. You know, so that looks really good. I'm devastated, like everyone else is, about Zaniolo, not only for the Azzurri, but for Roma, because I think if he'd have been fit, they could have... really, really pushed on. Really, really pushed on. I think it's really interesting that, you know, with Roma as well, having Juventus in the second game, you know, that could be a real confidence boost. They can get something there as well. And when you look at the players who've gone out, I mean, even though I said that Kolarov's good backup for Inter, he's no shakes really with that. You know, they've lost Under, who I thought was so inconsistent, that, you know, De Frel, well, they didn't have him anyway, almost. Sheik, they didn't have him either. He's gone, and Kalinic was no point in the sense of that. So those players who've gone back, and you know, it's not really a huge deal. And I like what they've done. Milic, I'm a big fan of, but I'm frustrated with him because I think that, you know, if you get him on form, he's probably, could be still one of the most dangerous strikers in Serie A if he's on form. Problem is inconsistency. I'm disappointed that it looks like they're going to lose Dzeko. big, you know, it's a big plus for Juve if that happens. But I would have liked to have seen those two been able to alternate, because I think that would have made him stronger. So I think from a point with the Dan Friedkin, isn't it? Coming in. I just think that, you know, he's not spent too much yet, but I can see that developing. So I think Roma are one to watch. I think they'll improve on next year. But I think next season's really going to be the one that, you know, hopefully if Paolo Fonseca can get those guys working, then that will be something to watch. Milan are my most improved, in a sense. I mean, I was quite for the Ralf Rangnick program of coming in, because I just thought it would have been crazy to see them totally reborn, but they're not. Pioli deserves a place to keep the job. And I like the project. I like where that's going. I think that, you know, when you look at Federico Massara and Paolo Maldini, I think what they've done is quite incredible. And not only just like with Sandro Tonali, because like if you look at Tonali coming in is fantastic. It's a bit of a kick in the teeth for Inter as well. Inter can justify it, as I mentioned before. But you look as well, and I think just having Ibrahimovic there for the season is important. And again, you know, Brahim Diaz is a quality player. And so for me, it's like Milan are looking a bit further ahead. I think Champions League is really something they should really be looking to go for this season. And I feel that AC Milan feel just more cohesive. They feel more, they have a plan for once. And it may not be the plan that everyone thought it was going to be, but it's a solid plan. It seems to suit them. So I think Milan, for me, I would actually, you know, love to see them back in the Champions League. I think it's, you know, an iconic club, and they deserve to, not they didn't deserve to be there, but I think the moves they've made here could see them have a real go at it. And finally, Napoli are probably the team I'm most worried about in some respects. Now, before anyone kills me on this, I like Gattuso as a coach. I think what he's done when he's come in, I don't think he's all blood and thunder as many people have thought. We saw snippets of that when he was at Milan against Roma and Sampdoria, played some fantastic football. Two games which really stood out in what was a bit of an odd period for him. But he's come in after, you know, the whole revolt against Benitero. He came in, he steadied the ship. De Laurentiis backs him, he's his man. That's who he wanted. They played good football. However, it's just on the recruitment drive again. You know, I know that Alan he's gone to Everton now, and he was partly... and obviously he's been replaced, but I still think that they might miss him in some respects. I think Petagna, whilst I like him, especially as sort of a hold-up player, I think he's lower quality than Milik. He's gone out, and I know it's he's getting on in his years, but Callahan for me, you know, was a good player. And Lozano, they've had issues with. I'm questioning Napoli. I obviously want them to do well, because I think when they play in San Paolo in front of that crowd and they're playing the football they do, there's not a better team to watch in Europe at some points. But I just worry about what's going to happen with Koulibaly. I still think they've got issues with the goalkeeper, because I don't think Meret's confidence is good, and I think Ospina's not the best, should we say. So I think there's more questions than answers at Napoli. So out of all of them, I think Milan are best place for Champions League, and I'd be interested to watch Roma's project.
Yeah, I like Roma's project, but yeah, I think they are with Kumbula, Milik, Zaniolo out. It'll probably really pay off next season more. So we talked a lot about the teams at the top, Richard. I know you like looking at the league as a whole. Are there any other teams that intrigue you going into the season?
Yeah, there's one that really, really does, actually. And it might not be everyone's top pick, but I'm really interested to see what Hellas Verona do next year.
Yeah, because, I like it.
Yeah, because maybe I'm a sucker for really decrepit old stadiums, but I do like the stadium of Gordy. But and Hellas Verona with the history, you know, like a crazy league win in the mid-80s. But also, I think even Juric is, you know, he's got this really well-disciplined team. He's using his back three, which a lot of coaches are at the moment. So, you know, obviously at the back, he's obviously, you know, he's always with a five. But then when they go forward, they go forward in numbers. He bases his tactics on Gasperini. You know, what I like about him, he always says that he's got a bit of a twist. He's got a higher press than him. which I don't quite, I've not quite seen myself, but I think that they're, you know, 49 points last season was impressive for the squad they had. For me, you know, the fan base is incredible, was always there. And, you know, a lot of people, and I think that the ambition probably will end up being mid-table, but I think with a bit of luck, they could really press on, because when you look, the players they've lost, and you look at Vere gone to Sampdoria, you know, you look at Esedic gone to Fiorentina, I didn't actually think he had that good a season. Berini was poor last season. Disappointed to see Pazzini go, but let's face it, he can't go on forever. But the players they brought in, I mean, Setien from Roma is okay. I'm really a big fan of the fullback, Roig from Zurich. I think he's a real talent. And I think that we'll see him do something, not just for Verona, but for another big Serie A team soon. Gunter from Genoa is a solid player. And also, the next two, they're my favourites. Now, Ilic from Man City had a massive write-up here over here in the UK. People have been talking about him as a real, you know, potential superstar. So I'd be really interested to see him. I've not particularly seen him play at all. I've just heard good things about him. And I'm very fortunate to spend a bit of time in the south of France. And so I go and watch OGC Nice quite a lot. And Tamez in midfield, I think he's an absolute super. He's like Cyprian light. He's a really good player. So I think they've strengthened really, really well. And when you look at the transfer, I mean, you, David, you'll know this way more than me, but this transfer window in the pandemic is very, very difficult. Not, you look at what the teams in Spain are spending, not very much. You look at what Germany are having to do with their ownership, so that, you know, they're not spending a lot of money. You only get, I think Serie A has done actually really well in what they've spent in some respects. But Hellas here have done some really clever business. And I think that when you look at, the reason I think they'll do well is because when you look at the teams around them, I don't see massive amount of improvement. And for Hellas to come in with the same coach after their finish last season, you know, they might be a little tip to surprise. I mean, you know, I'm not 100% on that. It might all fall through, but yeah, they're one that certainly interests me.
I love that you picked Verona, because I have to be honest, I did a lot of research this week to get ready for the season. And on the surface, you look at the players Verona lost, right? And they just lost Kumbula. They had sold Romani and Amrabat. Mm. And those were three of their best players. But then you look at the rest of their squad, they still have a lot of talent. Like they do. Veloso was great. Lazovic was really good. Faraone was really good. So I agree with you. Verona is definitely a team that I'm going to keep an eye on. I got to be honest, I think they might have a few less points than last year, but I don't think they're going to be nearly a train wreck. And I think a lot of people expect them to be a train wreck. And I think they will prove them wrong, especially with Juric still there.
That's a really good point. And that's kind of what I was saying. When I first looked at them, and yeah, okay, Kumbula, like you say, is a big loss. And obviously, as well, and I'm back to Fiorentina, is a loss. But then the players they brought in are good enough. I don't think that, yeah, I wouldn't have said Kumbula made the difference last season. You know, even though he's a very promising player, I think people look at his potential, and I don't think he's irreplaceable. And so when you look at Verona, I think my initial thing was, okay, well, look where they finished last season. You know, you're looking at that and thinking 49 points, they finished ninth. Can they look at that sixth spot? It's not about that. And you mentioned it then, they might get slightly less points. But what they're doing in this period is establishing themselves as a good, staple Serie A team. And that is massive. When you look at the other clubs that go up and down and bounce around the league, if Verona can sort of establish themselves like Sassuolo have done, then that's a huge win for them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, well said. And I'm glad I'm not the only one who's kind of bullish on Verona. I feel a little bit less crazy. Okay, let's close on this, Richard. And always a real pleasure to chat with you. I'll leave this a little bit more open-ended. Is there any transfer that really intrigued you, or in general, maybe even a player who hasn't transferred that you're really looking forward to seeing this season?
I have, but it's a bit of a bugbearer, and it's not one that you'd expect, right? Now, we talked before about Antonio Conte, and so when people said, okay, he's moving away from the likes of Kumbala, he's moving away from the likes of Sandro Tonali, okay, like I said before, he doesn't care about Inter in 10 years, and that's fine. I can accept that, no problems, because bringing Kolarov, you know, bringing Vidal, bringing all the old guards, go and win the Scudetto, And I'll tell you what, no one will be talking about Sandro Tonali. So I've no problems with that. But what I can't understand, and the one that's really baffling me, and I did write an article about this at Football Italia, is Diego Godin. Because at the end of the day, if you're wanting to win, now I know his age, but look, he's only comparable to Kolarov and Vidal. This guy is an absolute winner. Last season, in the back end, especially after they came out of lockdown, he was picked over Skriniar.
Yeah.
So why in that sense, and you know, maybe the guys who listen to the podcast can answer this for me, because I still have no answers. If you are walking away from the idea of building for the future and you are all about winning now, keep Godin for one more season, because he was very, very good last season. Oh. He's hugely influential for Bastoni and for Skriniar and even for De Vrij, who said that playing alongside him was such an influence. This guy is, you know, what's the Uruguayan? Is it Grada or something? That sort of spirit to win. I've got that wrong, but you know what I'm trying to say. He's got this grit that Inter need and the tactical awareness to really help out next season. And so for me, that was the one that didn't get in my head, because, you know, if you're trying to shift him out, who are you going to try and get in instead? So, yeah, I know it's not what everyone wanted to hear. It's not some fantastic young up-and-coming talent from Ajax that's going to come in or something, but yeah, I'm so confused. I don't know. David, you got an opinion on that? Because I don't know why they're trying to shift him out.
For Godin, I think it's a matter of salaries. Unfortunately, he has a massive salary. And I agree with you. I liked Godin quite a bit. I think that's why the Vidal thing is taking a little bit longer. I think they are basically saying, we think that huge salary slot is better used on Vidal than it is on Godin, which, you know, is debatable, to say the least. I also would imagine they'll, you know, Inter and Cagliari have a good relationship. Maybe Inter make, you know, they sign them on a Bosman. Maybe they get a plus Valenza out of it. You know, I know they did the deal for Barella. So I think I am surprised, like you, when I first heard of the Godin thing, but he earns close to 6 million net. And I think Inter, unfortunately, clubs, those huge salaries are an albatross for a lot of teams. And yeah, it's a tough one, because I agree with you. He had played really well this season.
Yeah, I think as well, you're right. I mean, what is it, like you say, 5.5, 6 million net. For that salary, I completely get that. But when you've got the likes of Gianmario and Perisic who are on the way out, you think that maybe, you know. But hey, you know, it is what it is. And it's not the worst situation at the end of the day.
Yeah, but because Inter still...
Sorry, go on.
No, go ahead. I'm saying Inter, you know, it's at this point, you got to hope Skriniar gets back in form. And I think more than anything, this says how much faith Inter has in Bastoni. It was absolutely sensational last season. So. Yeah. Cool, Richard. So it was great catching up with you. What do you have planned on Football Italia, Gentleman Ultra? What can our listeners look forward to from you during the season?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Football Italia, as normal, you know, we've done the season previews now. They're a little shorter than normal, but they're up online, and we'll be doing everything that you normally expect us to do as of, well, pretty much now. So lots of features there. I'll probably be covering into quite a bit there. And also, obviously, Gentleman Ultra is going to be quite a lot of content as coming out from the new season. So lots of people on board at the moment, some really good writers, really excited about that. Lots of new content. And one thing we are doing is we've got some longer podcasts coming out, but we've also got some short ones where we've got some, if you've got 5 or 10 minutes, we're actually reading our articles onto the podcast. So it might only be 5 or 10 minutes, but if you're, you know, on a short commute, you've got 10 minutes, you can listen to one of our articles. So that'll be a new thing for next season. So yeah, loads of stuff in the pipeline, to just keep checking as usual places. I'm at Ritual80 and check out the Gentleman Ultra site.
Absolutely. Gentleman Ultra is awesome. You're awesome. And I look forward to chatting with you again during the season. Richard, thank you so much. It was way too long since we talked. Thanks so much for being part of our season preview.
No, I'll pass it back. You're awesome also, David. Thank you very much for having me.
And always great to hear from Richard. I'm sure we'll have him on during the season. Before we get to a Napoli outsider, which you'll hear him discuss Napoli, we're going to do a quick part of the show for our patrons. Usually we have a much longer part of the show for patrons, but we've been giving them a lot of extra content on our patron page. We have Napoli outsider previewing Serie A with me. I put my list of Serie A blue and red chip players broken down there my whole list for patrons to see. And so if you enjoy Calcioland, I'm sure you'll find a lot of great content there. You'll also be supporting a great charity. We've been making some very nice monthly donations to the Insuperabili, which run some great football academies for kids with disabilities in Italy. So let's close the show with our dear friend Napoli Outsider. So we hired him to give us some patron coverage throughout the season. Our patrons will hear him once a month covering Serie A with me. You will hear him on the podcast kind of as our Napoli correspondent. I think he's absolutely superb. I will tell you, I think he's worth the $3 a month on his own just to hear him talk once a month on Serie A. I think he's absolutely brilliant. And here he is on Napoli to close out the show. So now for our regular listeners, we couldn't preview Napoli season with anyone better than you, our favorite, the Napoli Outsider. So my friend, let's start here. As we're recording, Koulibaly is still on the squad, and you know, it's still not certain if he'll leave or not. But let me ask you this. Let's say Koulibaly leaves. Do you still think Napoli can make it in the top four?
Yeah, no question. I mean, first of all, a lot of people were doubting, well, not what I said, but also what Napoli were saying, that Koulibaly was not going to leave unless, you know, they got a huge offer. And a lot of people were saying, oh, he's going to leave. Look, they've already spent the money on Osimhen, and they're not in the Champions League. But no, Napoli only sells if they're satisfied with an offer. They don't need anybody's money. So they can afford to just let him leave only if they can get a good substitute, only if they can get a satisfying offer, which is kind of a guarantee. You know, they're never going to sell him if they don't have a plan in place. So that's why I really trust the fact that they're not going to get a lot weaker. Also, I look at the way Napoli played between January and June, essentially. So the meaningful part of the season under Gattuso, because later the season was basically meaningless, and before he still had to find his groove. But when he did find his groove, well, Koulibaly was not really a factor. He never played well last year. And in fact, for most of last year, he was actually even injured. And there were Manolas and Maksimovic, and Napoli still played very well. So I do not think it's going to be an insurmountable problem. Obviously, if he stays and he is motivated and he comes back to his previous levels, that's going to be a huge boost. But remember that the Koulibaly that Napoli would be missing is the one from last year right now, and that's not a huge loss, to be honest. I think it's mostly like an Allan situation right now. You saw probably Allan play against Tottenham. That's the only game they've played so far official this year. And Allan, after 18 months of nothingness, you know, after the Paris Saint-Germain offer came in, he was terrible for a year and a half. And he went to Everton and he played great his first game. Now, I don't know. Obviously, nobody knows how it's going to go on from here on. So is he going to stay at those levels or is he going to kind of get worse? I think he's going to stay at those levels. But the most important thing to note is that I don't think he would have played at those levels had he stayed in Napoli. I think his Napoli energies, his motivations in Napoli had gone. So I kind of feel it's the same with Koulibaly. I think if he stays, he's not going to play as well as in the case he leaves. And if he does leave, Napoli fans do not have to fall into the trap of thinking that he would have played well in Napoli as well. Because I have no doubt about the fact that he loves the city, he loves the fans and everything, but sometimes you need to change the scenery. Sometimes you're just done where you are. You know, you've given it all you had, and you just have to move on to a next project. And I kind of feel that way, but I don't think that Napoli is going to miss him too much, especially, again, given what he gave to Napoli last year, which wasn't much.
Okay, interesting. So no, I think that's a fair way of looking at it. Now, a lot of people laughed at the idea that Napoli would replace Koulibaly with Socrates from Arsenal. I think that's a little bit unfair because you mentioned they have Manolas, they have Maksimovic. You know, and I always think like Napoli buys the year before the replacement. In my mind, I kind of look at Manolas more as Koulibaly's replacement than anyone else. But do you think it's a problem that Gabriel, who was kind of pegged as the Koulibaly replacement, went to Arsenal and is not available? How much of a disappointment is that in your opinion?
There's a bit of disappointment for sure, because I like Gabriel as a player, but it's not terrible in the sense that I think that at least in the first year, the starter would have been Maksimović because he deserves it.
Yeah.
And he probably had a great season last year, and he showed he could have done it all. Now, obviously, long-term, Maksimović is 29 and Gabriel is 23. So obviously, the long-term replacement for Napoli would have been Gabriel, for Koulibaly, for Napoli, that is. So, yes, over the long term, it's kind of disappointing. He's left-footed. He's a good ball-playing center back. I think he would have been really good. But for just the time being and this season, there's not a lot of worry, and I think there are other guys that Napoli could be looking at. For example, I really like Senesi with the Feyenoord. Now, Socrates is a kind of different thing, because if they get him, yes, well, that is a bit of a disappointment as opposed to Gabriel. However, you don't have to look at the sheer quality that they would be bringing in, because once again, the starter would be Maksimović. You have to look at the experience factor, because I think that's what Gattuso is looking at. Gattuso really puts a lot of weight on experience, whether you like it or not. And he's shown that with the keepers as well. He's shown that in other parts of the field as well. So he played with Socrates as well in 2010, I believe, in Milan. So he knows what Socrates can bring to the dressing room, what he can bring in terms of international experience. And I think that's what he's shooting at. And obviously, then for the following year, so that's next year, not this year, Napoli then would have to find another defender. But they have 1 year to do it. I think Maksimović can hold up well 1 year, maybe even two. So it's not too much of a worry. I mean, again, I like Gabriel, but it's not a death blow to Napoli or anything.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look Manolas, Maksimović as your starters, that, you know, that's definitely very solid. So I was doing my research for the season, and the way I do it is I break down every team, blue chip, red chip players, and actually this might be a fun exercise for us next time, next month. But one thing I also look at all the teams is the players that they lost, and one thing that stood out to me on Napoli is some pretty significant departures. Now, I think you made a good point on the motivations that, you know, for these guys, the end had come, but there's the possibility that Napoli could find themselves without Callejon, Allan, and Koulibaly. So three players that I think we really associate with the team for a while. Do you think that's too much veterans that have been part of the team for so long in 1 year to see all three go, or does that not concern you overall?
None at all. Now, the reason for that is, and you could add Ghulam to that group, by the way.
Yeah.
So if you want, you can make it four. And that's kind of all the old guard being gone. But it doesn't concern me, because the fact is, you know, Callejon was one of the most exciting and underrated players in Serie A over the last 6 or 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that he was done probably by last summer. His last season was not up to his par. And that's the thing. Napoli would not be replacing the irreplaceable Callejon of the previous 6 years. That guy is just irreplaceable. There's nobody like him in world football at all. But they would be looking at replacing Callejon from last year. And that's a much more replaceable player, because he was just not up to his own standards. To the point that, you know, all the leagues have started except for Italy. Italy starts this weekend, and there hasn't been a single offer going his way, which tells you a lot about what he's done. I mean, he's given it all. And we thank him for it, but, I mean, that's all he had in the tank for Napoli. And the same is going for Allan. You look at what he's done since Gattuso arrived. He basically did not play as a starting player in the last 6 months. So he's going to be great at Everton. I have absolutely no doubt. I think he's a great player. But I don't think he was going to give anything to Napoli anymore. You know, you could have kept him. He just wouldn't have given you what he's going to give to Everton. With Koulibaly, I kind of get the same vibes as with Allan. I think he's given it all he has. So if you lose those players, you're not losing them in their primes. Their prime has come and gone, and you have to accept that. You have to accept the fact that they're not going to be, if they stay at Napoli, obviously, they're not going to be as good as they once were. So I don't want to say they're replacing the ghosts of Callejon and Allan and possibly Koulibaly, but that's kind of how it is. And they have already done that partially last year. Callejon was losing his place to Politano, who was not very good, but still he was a little more lively. And if Lozano can find his footing, then you can never know what happens. I mean, Lozano in the last 2 months of last year looked like he was just getting, you know, getting accustomed to Italy. So, and Allan, again, he was just not playing at all. So there's nothing to miss there. And Napoli fans do not have to fall into the trap. Again, I want to stress this. They do not have to fall into the trap of thinking they would have gotten the prime performances out of those players. Their prime performances were gone. And so at this point, you might as well just get the money and reinvest it and start a new cycle.
Okay. So let me ask you about Manolas. We touched upon it a little bit because in my mind, like, again, Napoli is very proactive. In my mind, they kind of see him as Koulibaly's replacement as kind of the signature center back. But when you look at the other top teams in Serie A, and Serie A always is known for having great defenders, you think it matches up to the Chiellini, the Licks, the De Vrij, even Acerbi, to a lesser extent, the Romagnoli, so the leaders of the defense on the other teams they're competing with?
Yeah. Although, he's got certain weaknesses. But depending on the way you play, he's going to give you a lot. Now, if Napoli are going to defend low like they did in some parts of the season last year and then have a lot of field ahead of them to counterattack, then he's going to be fantastic. He's really strong in the air. He's got great athletic capabilities. So if he goes into a lot of duels, he's going to be great. Where he is weak is in his positional, in the positional defense. So if you're going to defend low and just let him have a lot of duels, then Napoli's going to do great. Also, if they're going to defend high, but men mark the opposition forward, then he's still going to do well. Because, again, he's really strong at winning duels. And so the biggest issue now is if Napoli decide to hold a lot of the ball, play high, keep the ball, and defend positionally. Now, in that case, he's going to struggle a bit. That's the whole issue. Now, how are you going to play? If you play the right way, the way that suits him, and you play alongside, I don't think his partner is that big of a deal. I think the style of play is much more of a big deal in his case. He needs to play in a system that allows him to have a lot of running duels, tackling duels, jumping duels, aerial duels, one against one, because I don't think there are a lot of guys that can beat him physically or athletically, but there are a lot of guys that can beat him positionally. And if he has to find his position, yes, that's where he might struggle.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the midfield. So both Dem and Lobotka arrived in January. You've had a chance to see both of them for a little while now. If you had to bet, who do you think is going to have a better season between Dem and Lobotka?
My hope is that Dem has a better season. And the reason is that I think Dem, tactically, right in front of the back four, he gives you exactly what you need defensively in addition to the build-up. Now, Lobotka is probably better at holding the ball. He makes runs with the ball as well. He dribbles a bit, and he offers you some different things. However, again, I think that Napoli should play a more cautious style of football. That's where they succeeded last year. Sarri ball, the way that they played with Sarri is gone. That didn't work. Gattuso tried to make it work, and that's where Napoli really struggled. So he has to figure out that part of the game is gone. And if that part of the game is gone, then probably Demme gives you better balance at the back and coming out of the back as opposed to Lobotka. So if Demme is factored out, that means probably Napoli are playing in a different way. But if Napoli are playing in a different way, then I think, and I'm afraid, that they might struggle with the way they play, both on defensive transitions, as I just mentioned with Manolas, and on the offensive side, because they become a little too predictable and slow.
Okay. So we beat the Callejon thing down enough, but I just want to ask you this quickly. Which keeper do you think is going to play more this season between Mere and Ospina? It seems Gattuso really likes Ospina. Do you think that's going to change this season?
It has to.
I agree.
There are a lot of things that you can say about other positions where you just have to follow the coach's style. But for the goalkeeper, I think that, the guy has to save the ball, okay? Now, you think about what's going on with Kepa in Chelsea, obviously. You talk a lot with Alex Goldberg, obviously. And, they're looking for other keepers. I mean, that guy was the most expensive goalkeeper in the world because of the way he plays the ball with his feet and everything. But he doesn't save the ball. And if you're going to allow goals, that's not good. I mean, Ospina is not a terrible goalkeeper, but he's not nowhere close to Meret in terms of shot stopping. And I think that the gap between the feet of Meret and the feet of Ospina is a lot narrower than their shot stopping ability. And Meret has the chance to be the keeper for the next 10 years. Ospina, no, he's not going to be the goalkeeper in the next 10 years. So I think Gattuso has to find a way to give more minutes to Meret. And, you know, anticipations out of the Napoli camp are that he's going to start and go with Parma, Meret. So if that happens, I think it's the right call, and I hope that's what happens. It has to be, because otherwise his agent is going to push him away. And he's already had talks with Inter and with Chelsea, too, as well. I heard. So, yeah, you don't want to lose a player like that. You're going to be biting your elbows at that point. You lose Meret for a 32-year-old goalkeeper. Not good.
Yeah. Well, Meret with Pastorello. He's in very good hands. But I agree with you. I do hope it works out at Napoli, because it really was a great signing. As you corrected me last time, he can be their best keeper since Dino Zoff, not their best keeper ever. So let's close on some over-unders. This is always a lot of fun. I picked Napoli's four main strikers and I set an over-under, and I'm curious to get your take. This year we are going to track them. Our listeners asked that we track them a little bit. So we are going to hold you accountable to these, my friend. So you know how this works by now. So let's start with Osimhen. So I chose an over-under of 12.5 for him. The reason I picked that is last season he had 13 league goals. He didn't play every game. He seems to be fitting in at Napoli really well. He seems to be, he'd be the main striker. He seems to be a perfect fit for what we've seen from Gattuso tactically. So if I set the over-under at 12.5 for Osimhen in Serie A, what are you taking?
Now, first of all, let me slap a huge asterisk on my prediction, because I have to put my hands forward. But the thing is, we don't know. I mean, now, more seriously, this is serious now, but we don't know how Gattuso is going to play, really, because there haven't been that many preseason games. There was supposed to be one important one in Lisbon that was canceled due to COVID. Striking Sporting Lisbon player. So we still do not know for sure how he's going to play. Is he going to play more counter-attacking like in the successful parts of last year? Is he going to play possession-style football? Is he going to play a 4-2-3-1 or 4-3-3? We do not know that for sure. So we go into these predictions, and they're always fun and games, but the thing is, we still don't know how he's going to play, so that's going to obviously affect predictions, and not only those. But it's a game, we're going to play it. So let's go for it. I'm thinking Osimhen is over 12.5. I'm going to have to say that, because if he doesn't go over 12.5, that's obviously a disappointing season. So that's my hope. Although I have to say, and that's why I was mentioning the style of play earlier on. If Gattuso plays a 4-3-3, then there are going to be games in which Osimhen doesn't play at all. And just because of a tactical necessity. And that wouldn't be strange either, because he's barely 21. So even if he doesn't play all that much, you know, and they are just grooming him to be the center forward of the future, that could also be understandable, obviously. Now, that being said, I hope he comes out with a bang and scores about 15 to 18 goals. So let's go. Let's take the over.
All right. I love it. Okay. So the other main striker is Mertens. It'll be interesting to see how they play, how often they play together. So last year, he had 9 goals. I guess I'm a little aggressive with Mertens. I'm going to go with 10.5. I think he's going to have a big season. What do you think? Is that 10.5 too aggressive, or is that something you think he can meet?
I think he could meet it. Now, are we talking over the season or just the league?
This is just Serie A. Sorry, I should have specified.
Serie A. Now, if it's Serie A, I have to be balanced, because otherwise I become too much of a fanboy. But I'll take the under, and I'll tell you why. Because if Osimhen is going to play a lot and score a lot, then probably Mertens is either going to play as a second striker or as a trequartista behind him. So he's going to play a little farther away from the goal from his usual standards, latest standards. So I think he's going to have more assists than goals. And that's the only reason. I don't think that Mertens is going to have a bad season by any means, but he's going to have more assists than goals next year, probably.
Okay. One signing that I liked and that I think is really underrated, I'm a big fan of Catania. I think he's a really good player even when he doesn't score. I think he kind of brings a different dimension to Napoli. It definitely sounds like he'll be a backup. So I settled fairly low over under at 6.5. Do you think he'll go over or under that? And how do you feel about Catania in general at Napoli?
In general, I feel well. I think he's a really good backup. He gives Napoli something they did not have. I mean, Llorente was supposed to give him, but the thing is, Llorente is pretty old at this point, and Catania is a lot younger. So he plays with his back to the goal. He opens up a lot of scoring chances for his teammates. That's what he did with Atalanta. One year, he scored only one goal, but he had a lot of assists, and he did exactly what Gasperini wanted him to do. So I think it's a really good option to have off the bench. You know, those games in which you're playing against small teams, that they're all in their box, you can actually cross the ball up high in the air, and you have that option. Now, that said, again, if they play a 4-2-3-1, then what does that mean? That Osimhen is the striker and Catania is his backup. But if they play a 4-3-3, Osimhen is probably still the striker, but Mertens is his backup, and Catania is just the third option. So he might not play enough to get those 6.5 to that 6.5 threshold. So I still think he's going to be a good player for Napoli, but I'll take a cautious under. I think he's going to skip, and I'm going to add something else. He's going to score in the Europa League because I think, especially in
the league,
he's going to see a lot of minutes. So he's going to compensate there, and he's going to give Napoli exactly what they want. But let's say he scores only 5 goals in the league next year.
I think that's fair. And I say this as someone who really likes Catania. So you mentioned them earlier, Lozano, which I think is a nice X factor for Napoli. Last summer, he was the most expensive purchase the club had ever made before Osimhen. Definitely a brutal start, well at the end. Intriguing player. I'm going to set the same over-under that I set for Catania for him in Serie A at 6.5. What are you taking?
Now, if you look at it's incredible, but I think it speaks more about the season than about Lozano. But last year, he was the third highest goal scorer in Serie A from open play for Napoli.
Wow.
So, yes. You wouldn't have guessed that probably, but
no.
Yes, it is. And the thing is, now, there are still 3 weeks in the transfer market. If Napoli get another winger and that winger becomes a starter, then I'm obviously taking the under because he's not going to get enough minutes to score. Even though he showed that, you know, despite all his shortcomings, he can put the ball in the back of the net, which you can't say for a lot of wingers. But if he's the starting winger, then, you know, fans might not love him as much as he'd like them to love him, but he's going to score more than 6.5. So I'm taking the over if he's the starting winger, as it looks like right now. But again, there's 3 weeks in the window. It looks like Napoli might get De Olofeo or Boga. You don't know about that. And if those guys come in, then obviously it's got to be the under. But right now, what is it? September 15, 16? I don't know. I kind of lost
16.
My calendar. Yes. I'm taking the over.
Yeah, I like that. I agree. So before I let you go, I just want to ask you this. We talked because we previewed Serie A on the Patreon version. We both agree Juve and Inter are kind of at the top. You seem to be pretty bullish on Atalanta. Am I correct in assuming that your top four would look like Inter, Juve, Atalanta, Napoli, Milan, something like that? Like, what's your order if you had to pick the top 16?
Yeah, you're pretty right. I think it's Inter and Juve fighting head-to-head. Then Napoli is going to be a lot closer to Atalanta, although we didn't talk about Atalanta, but I think they had a really good transfer market.
Yeah, I agree.
So they might be even better than last year. So, you know, Napoli have to come back from a bad season, so I'm going to think that they're going to challenge for fourth place, but I think they're a little better than Milan, than Roma, and than Lazio. So I'm taking Napoli fourth place. And again, I mentioned Milan just ahead by the thinnest of margins on Roma. And I think Roma and Lazio are evenly matched right now. But the positioning from fifth to seventh place is really, for me, going to come down to what happens over the next 2.5 weeks in the transfer market. Because if Roma can get a goalkeeper, then they're my pick for fifth place. If Milan can get Milenkovic, that changes a lot. If Lazio can get well, I'm not going to say three, but at least two impact players off the bench, like David Silva was supposed to be, like Rafinha from Barcelona could be. If they get a couple of those players, then it could be Lazio. But everybody's on the cusp over there. And in fact, I'll tell you what, if Lazio can get two impact players, they might actually be as good as Napoli. So you really don't know. We probably have to rediscuss this in the next.
Yeah, no, well, we're going to do it next. Well, I'll tell you what, next month we are going to go over blue chip and red chip players. I'll send you what I do. I think you'll like it. It'll be a lot of fun. But I really like where your head's at for the season. I can't thank you enough. So if you guys enjoyed hearing Napoli Outsider, and how could you not, I recommend you look into becoming a patron. We had an extra half hour conversation previewing Serie A. We will have him on once a month, and you will hear him talking about Napoli, but also if you want his thoughts on Serie A, and they're fascinating, check out Patreon. So, my dear friend, I can't thank you enough. Always a real pleasure to chat with you. Thank you so much for coming on, and have a great season, and we look forward to discussing it with you on the podcast.
Well, thank you, David, as usual, for having me, and I'm looking forward to talking to you next month after the Serie A teams will have scrambled like headless chickens, looking for their last players in the last week of the transfer window. You never know what's going to happen because they're going to go nuts. And yeah, so let's hope for a good season, and let's hope that fans can get back into the seats as well.
Yeah, for sure.
This season, and everything gets back to normalcy, because we really need that, man. So thank you once again for having me, and looking forward to the season. Good luck, and buon campionato.